circle. Ba, ba, da, da, da.
Support connections and ministries through coordinating, training, and encouraging. To lead us into becoming more intentional about reaching our communities, we have hired someone to spur us on to greater good of reaching out, of enfolding, and forming faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. At this time, Mark, I'll invite you to come forward and share with us a few moments about yourself and also what you think God is calling you and us to do in this corner of his kingdom.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, can you use the mic? Okay.
Yeah. Well, good morning. I appreciate your welcome. You're very good at welcoming people, so I appreciate that. And we haven't even had coffee yet together, so I appreciate that very much. The scripture that's really strong on my heart this morning is when Paul reminded Timothy of his own time of commissioning, he said, I want to remind you of the gift, the grace gift that was given to you in the laying on of hands, laying on of my hands, he said. And he said to fan that gift into flame. But then he said something crucially important. He said, for we have not received the spirit of fear, but we have received the spirit of love and of power and of self-control. And that is what we rely on. That is what I rely on, because we could so easily give into fear, individually or collectively. But we rely on that spirit for power and love and self-control to see us in the ministry that we were doing. I've already been impressed that I've started on Thursday and I didn't have a lot of time to. I've only been with you in this congregation on Sunday morning one time, but through the interview process and everything, I've very much been impressed by, first of all, the quality of the leadership that is leading you on this journey that you've been on and that we are on together. Secondly, the obvious love and hard work that you as individual and this congregation show to one another and to the community. And thirdly, the clarity of your understanding, the crystal clear clarity of your understanding of where you're at and where you want to go. And what attracted to me about this job was, first of all, your desire to discern why God has you here in this place at 800 Renthorpe Road at this time in history. Secondly, your desire to love your neighbors. And thirdly, your willingness to try new things. I'm counting on that one, your willingness to try new things, okay? And what I think I bring to this is, first of all, just real humility. I'm not coming in here to tell you the way it has to be done. I'm coming in with real humility and a real sense of dependency upon God, for our sovereign God. We're all totally dependent on him. And in this work, we and me, we are totally dependent upon God. But also just the fact that I've sat in your pew. I've been in your pew as a guy trying to earn a living 9 to 5 during the weekdays, and a guy trying to raise his family and be a good husband and all those things, but also trying to participate in the life of the church and in the success of the church and in the growth of the church. So I understand the balance and the burdens that we all carry in those things. So hopefully I bring that in a positive way to you. So you know, my approach to ministry is first of all communal. I don't think in terms of the I or the you singular, but I think in terms of the we and the y'all, to borrow a phrase from our American cousins. Secondly, it's relational. I am first and foremost, I am relational. And my job as I see it is to build bridges between you and the community, us and the community together. And thirdly, which should be first, prayerful. My approach to ministry is prayerful. I will be praying, I will be asking and begging for your prayers all along in everything that we do. So my top priorities as we start right now is, first of all, I want to hear your stories. I want to hear how you've individually and collectively have gotten to this place right now. Thirdly, I want to pray. Secondly, I want to pray through the neighborhood with you. I don't want to just go out by myself and pray, but I'd like to be praying through this neighborhood along with you, side by side with you. So if you have opportunities where you're praying already, invite me into those. I want to be praying with you. And third, of course, I want to meet the people of this neighborhood. I want to meet the people of this neighborhood with you together. So my requests of you, well, first of all, I need your prayers. Individually, when you're praying by yourself, please remember what we're trying to do here in prayer, not just for me, but for all of us together, to what we're trying to do here. Secondly, if you're praying, if you have prayer groups established already, please invite me along. I want to sit down and pray with you and humbly beg God for what we're trying to do here. Secondly, I need your connections. If you are connected to houses, townhouses, apartments in the neighborhood, ministries in the neighborhood, whatever your connections are, I need those connections. So I'll be asking you for those connections. And thirdly, which again could be first, I need your grace. Because we're going to stumble along and we're going to rub shoulders and we're going to bump into each other along the way. And I'm not going to do things the way you're used to doing them. And so I need your grace. I expect that that will be no problem for many of you. So some things we want to do right away. I want to start prayer walking the neighborhood. And I just want to be inviting you along to that. So hopefully we can prayer walk the neighborhood together. We hope to, on the 13th, have a simple dinner of pancakes. It'll be Pancake Tuesday, Shrove Tuesday, or Mardi Gras, some people know it as. But Pancake Tuesday, we hope to have a simple dinner that night and invite the neighborhood. So I'll be working hard on that this week. But lastly, let's talk. I want to hear your dreams, what you've been dreaming about for this time in your congregational history. I need to hear those dreams, things you've tried, things you've wanted to try, things that you've been waiting for me to come on so we can try. So I need to hear those. But mostly, let's be praying for God's Holy Spirit of power and of love and of self-control to superintend all that we do.
Thank you, Mark. That's great. I'll ask you a few questions.
Yes.
Right, and I want you to answer into the mic so that everybody could hear. And then afterwards, I'll be asking all the office bearers and folks to come up and lay hands on you. So let me just ask you the questions first. Mark Brothers, you have been hired by our congregation to do this work of God among us. Do you promise to faithfully carry out your responsibilities among us, trusting God to lead, encourage, and strengthen you by the power of His Spirit? What is your answer?
I absolutely do, with the help of God.
That's great. Can I ask all the office bearers of the church to come forward? And I also invite all the representatives from Chartwell Baptist Church to come forward too and lay hands on Mark. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, on this day for your many best blessings. Thank you for your church. Thank you for giving us, this church, the task of calling others to your saving grace in Jesus Christ and to the fellowship of the covenant community. Today, Lord, we thank you in particular for calling Mark Brothers into the role of ministry director at this church. And as a congregation, we rejoice along with him as he begins his work among us. We pray, Lord, that you will bless Mark as a servant of Christ and of this church. Give him a measure of your wisdom and grace. Bestow on him the humility of Christ, the clarity of mind, and proper convictions in his heart. Strengthen him and strengthen all of us in the work of your church so that we may be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. May we, the congregation, support Mark in his work to help us all together serve you and your kingdom in this neighborhood. Together, Lord, may we rejoice in the calling you have given us as we serve in your name. So, Lord, we pray, may your Spirit be upon Mark as we commission him to this role. All this we ask with thankful hearts in the name of your dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Congregation, we are in this work together. As a people of Fellowship, CRC, I charge you to pray for Mark diligently, to support him with gratitude, and to encourage him joyfully. He works among us as a child of God, gifted by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Mark. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we come before you, Lord. Indeed, as we sang, your grace is enough, and we thank you that you're gracious to stoop down to, in this very simple way, we could approach your throne of grace. And so in that, Lord, and that knowledge, and that truth, and that spirit, we pray that you will hear us, and that you will show mercy and graciousness to us. We pray for Olga, and we pray for Lenny, and anyone else who may have lost some loved ones recently. We pray for them and pray for their families, and pray for your comfort and your strength. Embrace them, Lord, in your loving arms and help them. We pray also for all those who are maybe ill and recovering. Remember Pastor Joan and her illness, and many others perhaps who may be during this flu season. Protect those who are vulnerable, and we pray for healing. Lord, I want to thank you as well. We thank you for, we not only pray and ask for comfort and grace for the difficult times that we go through, but we also thank you for all the good things. We thank you for your protection and your mercies. We thank you for birthdays that we could celebrate. We thank you for how you have protected and brought Nell and Bill's son home safely and his colleagues. We thank you that you have gave travel safety for David's wife and children. And we pray for travel's mercies for the rest of his relatives coming from Chile in a few weeks. So Lord, we pray. We pray for our missionaries, especially the Van der Wees family. We pray for a blessing on the work of their hands as they further your kingdom. And Lord, we pray also for this work of this church. We thank you that this morning we can commission a ministry director in Mark Brothers. We pray for him. We pray for Sandy, his wife. Together, Lord, may your spirit continue to guide them and strengthen them and give them your grace. So help us as a community, as Fellowship Christian Reformed Church. You have called us here to 800 Burnham Thorpe Road for a reason. So help us to discern that. Help us to follow and to discern your spirit's moving in this place, in this community. And help us to see what it is that you are doing so that we can join you in that. So we pray. May we be transformed by the reading of your word. May you guide us, and may your word go forth, Lord, and bear fruit. As we turn to your word now, we pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. I will not be preaching from Genesis 3 this morning. Pastor John will have that privilege of doing that at some point, some other time. So I chose instead the Gospel of Mark. So chapter 1, verse 9 to 15. For our passage this morning. Oh, by the way, I just realized I didn't introduce myself. Excuse me. You get so many things in your head that I have to do and check off in your mental checklist, and then you kind of forget about who yourself. But most of you know who I am. I'm a member of this church. My name is Xiao Chang. Everybody calls me Chang. I'm a member of this church. I'm a commissioned pastor in a Christian Reformed Church, and I'm also the editor of the Denominations magazine. And if you don't have a copy of the magazine, it's free. You can find it out there on the shelf on your way out. By the way, after the service, I would invite everybody to join us to have kind of a meet and greet with Mark and Sandy in the fellowship hall, coffee, and there's also baked goods as well, goodies, cookies and whatnot. And also, I think we'll have Mark and Sandy later on after the service stand where the greeters, the ushers are in the hallway there, and people could just go and shake their hands and welcome them that way, okay? I want to say that before I forget. All right, Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 15. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. And after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the word of the Lord. So, in this short passage, we have three short episodes. We have the episode of Jesus being baptized, and then of him being tempted in the wilderness, and then of him starting his ministry in Galilee. And I can describe these three events with one word for each one of them: affirmation, temptation, and mission. And so I want to just take a quick look at how these three events, affirmation, temptation, and mission, how they apply to us. I'll talk about what they mean. So now, to start off with the baptism. The baptism was a powerful affirmation by God. You know, God said, you know, you hear the voice of God as Jesus was baptized: "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased." The language here kind of alludes to Psalm chapter 2, right? And Psalm 2 happens to be the kind of psalm that the Israelites often use in the past when during coronation of kings, where God has installed his king, so to speak. So the psalm, so to speak, talks about that too. You know, God has installed his king to rule the world. And in verse 7 of Psalm 2, you know, it says, "You are my son, and today I have become your father." You know, God's speaking to the king, so to speak, in these metaphorical terms. So this psalm has been interpreted also by the Jews to be a messianic psalm. That is, a psalm that sort of foreshadows or foretells the coming Messiah king, the Savior King, who will rule, who will bring God's rule over all the world, not just over Israel. So Mark is picking up that reference from Psalm chapter 2. He's saying that Jesus is that Messiah King. God is saying to Jesus, you know, that it's in the same language, "You are my son," right? That Messiah King. God's voice from heaven affirmed, supported Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah King. And this baptism, in one sense, is almost like a sort of commissioning of Jesus. He's commissioned, anointed as a Messiah to carry out God's mission to save the world. So, now after that, you would expect, well, you know, after such a great, powerful affirmation and commissioning from God, you know, with God's voice booming, you know, and the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove, you would think that, you know, that is a perfect send-off and launching pad for Jesus' ministry, right? And he'll go forth and start preaching to the world, "Repent, and the kingdom of God is near." But not so. Not so. We read that instead, right after the baptism, it says, right, at once, not later, not a few weeks later, but at once, the Spirit sent Jesus out into the desert with the wild animals into the wilderness for 40 days and then being tempted by Satan. Now, Mark, in his usual action, quick cut to the chase style of writing, he doesn't give us any details about the temptation in the wilderness, unlike Matthew and Luke. You can find details there. But he uses a word that is in Greek that is kind of pretty violent, that, you know, English is kind of sanitized by saying, you know, his spirit sent him out into the wilderness. The Greek word there is more like cast out or thrown out. The picture you get is kind of like somebody grabbing somebody by the shoulders and kind of throwing them out violently, being cast out. It's the same word that is used when Jesus cast out demons later on. So the Spirit, right after this great affirmation from God, grabbed Jesus and just kind of right into the wilderness. There you go. That's where you start. And it's weird for us. Why would we do this? Why would the Spirit do this? Why would the Spirit, after a great, powerful affirmation of who Jesus is, public witnesses at John's baptism, John the Baptist is there at Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, a wonderful time to, start off the ministry and mission with a bang, instead sends Jesus into a wilderness, into trials, into difficulties, into fasting, and temptations even. And that's a pretty rough start to things. Not the kind of start we would have thought of. But that's God's wisdom. And only after Jesus faced temptation and trials did he begin his mission. It says in verses 14 and 15, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus' mission was to bring forth God's kingdom. The time has come, Jesus says. It is near. It is at hand. He asked people to repent. That is to turn away from one direction into the opposite direction. That's what repent means. To turn away from man-made kingdoms and to turn towards God's kingdom. To turn away from the world, the ways of the world, and to turn to the ways of God. Now, most Bible scholars believe that the Gospel of Mark was written at a time when Christians were under persecution, when the early Christians were persecuted. It accounts for why it is the shortest of all the four Gospels, because you want it to be easily, quickly read. You get all the Coast Notes version, so to speak, right? Action-oriented, event-oriented. It doesn't give you a lot of details. He makes sure that he tells all the important, necessary information about Jesus' ministry, Jesus' life, that Christians need to know. So he leaves out all the other niceties about Jesus' birth and everything else and all those things that comes before. It's all about cut to the chase. What do you need to know? And you're reading this on the run before you pass it on to the next Christian. Right, so that's what scholars believe. Now, if that is the case, there are two things that might be quite relevant to the early Christians when they're reading the Gospel of Mark. Because they were persecuted by the Roman Empire. And these early Christians were already joining God's mission. They were following Jesus' mission. Right, in proclaiming in word and in deed with their lives, and some of them probably by losing their lives, the kingdom of God. So when they read that Jesus started his mission after John the Baptist was put in prison, that little footnote, so to speak, that little tidbit about John being in prison probably jumped out at these early Christians. When they were reading this, they're thinking, yeah, it's not surprising. God's servants end up in jail. God's servants face resistance. God's servants will always face opposition from Satan and from the ways of the world. And it's probably not surprising, therefore, for them, therefore, to also read, right after Jesus affirmation and commissioning in this baptism that he goes right and face the devil in the wilderness and face temptation and suffering. Probably a lot of the readers themselves could identify. They probably experienced the same thing. Many of them probably, when they became Christians and publicly acknowledged their faith by baptism, they too faced all kinds of trials and temptations, persecutions even back then. Maybe even losing friendships and close family relations. They're probably not as surprised as we would be in reading that. So what about us today? Do we experience the same things? Are we facing temptations and trials in our attempts to follow Jesus? Have we faced adversity or problems when we try to join God's mission? Are we following Jesus' mission? Are we proclaiming with words and deeds that God's kingdom is at hand? Or are we comfortably following the man-made kingdom's values and ways? We all face temptations, right? We all know that. We all face temptations when we try to follow God and obey God and follow God's kingdom ways. It isn't easy. In fact, it's easy sometimes to fall into sin and to disobey God's laws. It's easy sometimes to turn a blind eye towards injustice and wrongs in the world. Just as easy as it is to sin against God, it's also difficult to join God's mission sometimes, to do the positive thing, to spread love and spread grace and truth and justice in the world is also a difficult task at times. Maybe not in Canada here in North America, maybe not to the point of persecution as such, but unlike some places in some parts of the world. But we too can face our barriers and our hindrances as well. Right? The people who don't want to listen to the gospel, or the people who are hesitant or push back against acts of kindness when we reach out with love and grace, or when we are doing justice, we can face pushback against that and given consequences at times. And it can just be very wary sometimes too in joining God's mission. We could be tired. We could be wary and discouraged by seeing perhaps lack of progress. We can get burnt out. But here's the important thing from this passage that we have read that I want you to remember. Notice that Jesus got baptized and got affirmed at the beginning, before he started his mission. God affirmed first that Jesus is His beloved son. He is well pleased with Jesus. He has approved of Jesus before Jesus even started his ministry. All right? Remember that. It wasn't that Jesus went through, did his ministry, and done succeeded wonderfully, and then God says, "Well done, I love you, you are my beloved." No, before he started, God said, "You are my beloved. You are my son. I'm well pleased." And I want to highlight that this is the same for us in many ways. We as a church community have committed ourselves to joining God's mission for this neighborhood. And today we commission Mark to help us in that venture. Now remember, we did not hire Mark, I want to make this clear, we did not hire Mark to do the mission on our behalf. No. We are under him to equip us and to help us and to lead us on the mission that we have committed ourselves to do. We are the one that is doing the work. We are the ones who committed to join God's mission here. And we hired Mark to help us in that. It's our efforts and it's our mission. And so, when, not if, but when adversity comes, when we face barriers to our mission, and difficulties arise in one form or another, we may even face temptations to abandon our commitments, to veer off into different things, or to reduce our mission to something that is a lot easier, that actually distracts us. Remember that God will help us through. Remember that when Jesus was in the wilderness, the angels were there attending him. And angels will be with us too as we reach out to our community, even when we face the difficulties and the adversities. And sometimes the adversities might even be part of how God is preparing us for the mission, the way the Spirit sent Jesus into the wilderness for that, before Jesus started his mission. And we need to take heart and take comfort, because we are not only following Jesus in his mission, but we also receive God's affirmation as well. We are not doing this. We're not following, you know, going out and do the mission stuff and need to get God's approval of us, try and earn God's love, try and earn God's, you know, saying, you know, you're my beloved child, or you're a good church. No. God has already commissioned us. God has already loved us. God has, out of his grace in Jesus Christ, already says, you are my beloved church. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. I am well pleased with you. In Christ Jesus, God says, I love you. And therefore, you are my representative. You are my ambassador. Live out of that reality. We're not trying to do that to earn something. We have been given it by grace, and we live out of that truth. So don't forget that. God's grace is enough. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we thank you, God. Indeed, you have affirmed us and you gave us those words that so much we long to hear. The words from you, that you love us and that you have chosen us. And by grace, you have commissioned us as your ambassadors. So Lord, we pray, equip us and empower us with your Spirit, and help us to live out with gratefulness and thankful hearts that calling you have given us. And help us as this church, as Fellowship Christian Reformed Church, to join you in that mission for this neighborhood around us. And we pray for this neighborhood. We thank you for the work that is going on already, that maybe we don't realize, but we know your Spirit is moving everywhere and in people's lives. So we pray, Lord, bring us along. And Lord, we will end our prayer by praying the Lord's Prayer that you have taught us. Let's follow along. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we also forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.